I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, joining us now, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. And again, this isn't official as of yet. Both Woj and Shams going out of their way and saying that a job may have been offered, but yet still not officially accepted as of yet. But the Jazz, according to those two sources, closing in on Will Hardy as the next head coach of the Utah Jazz. David Locke, kind enough to join us. David, how are you?
Hey, David.
I'm good, guys. How are you?
I'm good. If Will Hardy ends up becoming the next head coach, and you've accomplished a lot of great things in your life, but I'm just looking at, oh my gosh, this guy's 34 years old. What have I done with my life?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's a great story. So he goes to Williams College in Massachusetts. I might be writing large checks to that institution. And he attends Williams College. He plays basketball there. And while he's at Williams, he's befriended this kind of older couple. The guy used to be a part of the athletic department. The Williams is in the Berkshires, which is kind of a beautiful nature part of the western Massachusetts. It's about equal distance to Boston and New York, so a lot of people retire out there. And this guy had been a part of the Williams athletic department. He'd been around at various other places. He was a basketball athletic director in Division III school. And Will Hardy had kind of become close with this family, despite the fact they were much older, while he's at Williams. And he kind of was an advisor to him. And as Will Hardy was graduating from Williams, he just said to this guy, I just want to stay in basketball. I know I have a lot of opportunities, and but I want to stay in basketball. And he said, well, all right, that's good to know. Let me make a phone call. I actually know some people. And Will's like, all right, well, I don't know who you'd know, but sure, that's right. And the next day, he sees him and says, Greg Popovich will be available this afternoon to talk to you. Greg Popovich, I believe, was the head coach of Pomona Pitzer College, Division III school in Southern California. And this guy was the athletic director at Pomona Pitzer at the time. And so that's how Will Hardy, so he takes the lowest level job in the Spurs organization. And does the film work. He becomes Mike Budenholzer's main film guy. And then he kind of works his way up. And when Bud takes the job in Atlanta, Will Hardy tells this kind of classic story that he's at a grocery store and he answers the phone. It's Pop. I got an assistant coach's job for you. Hangs up the phone. Will's like, calls his wife. He's like, I think I just got promoted, but I'm not sure. And so he goes and becomes, you know, rises up, pops in. We've all seen him quite a bit out here because he's been the Spurs Summer League coach almost every single year the Spurs came to Salt Lake City for Spurs Summer League. And now this year, Ime Udoka leaves the Spurs staff to become the Celtics head coach. And he, the first person he takes with him and makes his lead assistant, is Will Hardy. So you've got a 34-year-old, super bright, out of the number one liberal arts college in the country, who has been tutored by Pop. He was on USA Basketball. He left with Ime Udoka and, you know, has been renowned everywhere he's been. And Danny Ainge, Ryan Smith, and Justin Zanuck, if these reports are true, have clearly decided, you know, this is one of the great next coaches in the league. Danny Ainge's average track record with a head coach is 8 years. We're going to give him time become that coach. He has never been a head coach on any level other than Spurs Summer League, to the best of my knowledge.
So with the announcement coming from now multiple reports, Will Hardy, potentially the next Jazz head coach. David, as you look at Will Hardy, and it sounds like you have a good understanding of who this guy is and where he's come from, can you read into anything with potentially Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, what this roster will look like, how he fits with those individuals? Because I, that's always the thing I go to is, who's the head coach? How does he fit with the personnel, with the scheme? How do you feel like he would fit?
I think the immediate reaction by the national media is this is a sign the Jazz are in a rebuild, right? Like an inexperienced, young. I don't know that that's true. I think that's a reasonable reaction, and I think that'll be the number one reaction by the national media, but not really based on anything other than that just kind of assumption, right? So we'll have to watch and see what that means. I mean, it also might be that you just believe this guy's a really good head coach, a brilliant communicator, one of the bright minds in the game. And it's, you know, and if you believe in smart, you know, you probably got it here. You know, Ryan Smith's been wildly successful at a very young age. So, you know, Ryan Smith's not one who's going to believe you have to be 40 years old to be, you know, the head coach, or 50 years old. And so it kind of matches to me more than saying that it's a sign the Jazz are rebuilding. It more matches to me of Ryan Smith. And that Ryan Smith's like, wait a second, at what age did I build a multi-billion dollar company? Why can't somebody be a head coach of an NBA team at that same point? You know, Will Hardy, what does he need? He needs four more years? He needs someone else to hire him first? Like, if the guy's destined to be a great head coach, or, you know, a next head coach, who knows if he's going to be great? Talent usually dictates that. But, you know, is he going, he's bright, he's, like, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for him to have two more years as the Celtics assistant? Are you waiting for him to, you know, it seems pretty clear. And frankly, you know, Danny's got a pretty good insight into what's going on in Boston. And, you know, he still continues to be around the team. So I think, you know, he has an idea of what happened, you know, what Will Hardy's strengths and weaknesses are.
It's also interesting, too, because the Jazz, led by Danny Ainge and led by Ryan Smith, there's this element of, it would have been pretty easy to look at Terry Stotts. It would have been pretty easy to find somebody that had a ton of experience. But you and I, back in the day, I remember, you know, 10 years ago, you and I would have this conversation all the time about talent versus experience. And experience can be safe, but can be the safe route sometimes. But at the end of the day, if you see somebody who's talented, regardless of whatever walk of life you're in, I mean, you were a PD at 15 years old running the old K-Fan, for crying out loud. Like, if there's talent, go ahead and reward it and give them the reins and let them go.
I mean, my personal story there is that I got offered that job at 25 to build a brand new sports radio station. I turned it down because I wasn't qualified. And Scott Mihalik, who was hiring me, said, my job's to hire talent. I'll give you experience. And maybe that's what Danny Ainge has told Will Hardy. Right? Danny Ainge got more experience, better experience than just about anybody out there. I'll be with you along the way. I'll help you out. I'll give you the experience you're going to need, but you've got the talent and the brains to be great at this.
So, David, when you look at this hire, 34 years old, where he's come from, as you mentioned, never been a head coach, how loose will the reins be with him hiring his full assistant staff, or how much will he
I think Danny's intimately involved in just about every step at this point.
How often does that work that way, David? Kind of walk me through that. How often do you hire a head coach and he makes all the assistant hires, and how often does the organization make the assistant hires?
Well, I think it's often collective, but there's often, you know, like Kevin O'Connor hired an assistant coach hired Tyrone Corbin's staff, if my memory's correct. So, you know, it's not unheard of in Utah. It's happened before. And so it really depends on how well connected, you are. Like, I would be really surprised if we didn't see, you know, we interviewed Joe, Mullinex? That was an interesting interview for us to do. I would suspect that's intending to have him, you know, get to know him a little bit, and maybe he's coming around. I would suspect Lamar Skeeter stays on staff. You know, a lot of the Jazz, Brian Bailey is one of the Jazz assistant coaches, is in my mind one of the great up and comers in the league. People don't know. And so maybe, you know, I think the Jazz feel the same way about him that that I do, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if Brian Bailey's still on the staff. So, and you probably need some former players. You know, the Jazz have not had former players on the staff a lot, but maybe in this case with Will, you need a veteran, older, you know, advisor in some level more than Danny. I don't know who that would be. I'm just trying off the top of my head. Nothing comes to mind, but so it's, you know, certainly, you know, hey, Danny's been out of the box on all three of his hires now, and he's nailed the first two. So I've got some confidence he's got this one right, too.
All right. You ready for the other shoe to drop here, David?
Yeah.
Woj, the Utah Jazz are making a hire to the front office. David Fizdale, take that for data, has agreed to become associate GM after 18 seasons, an NBA head and assistant coach. Fizdale will work closely with GM Justin Zanuck and Danny Ainge with the Utah Jazz. Obviously, great relationship with Dwayne Wade, but David Fizdale, who has been, you know, a popular coach throughout his time in the NBA, also now a member of the Utah Jazz front office.
I've always liked David a great deal with all my interactions with him around the league. I haven't had, you know, dinners or anything on that level, but he's always been a super enjoyable guy to talk to. Thoughtful. He's got an amazing backstory too. He's out of, you know, inner city LA, if I remember correctly. And I'm not prepared for it, but I've got it in my notes back at home. So next time we talk, I'll have my Fizdale story background for you. But he's an inner city LA kid that kind of made, you know, worked his way through it. He had some interesting teammates or people he worked with along the way. Sorry, I can't pull that one off the top of my head. I was relatively prepared for Will Hardy, but not for, you know, but I think that's, you know, that's a little bit of bringing the heat. Like if you're gonna bring the heat culture,
yeah,
and some of that, you know, you've got some heat culture, you got some Celtic culture. Ryan's trying to rebuild this. David's got a great NBA mind, and understands where the league's going and what's going on with it.
Walk us through.
When you say the other shoe's dropping right now, it is hitting your stomach time, isn't it, as a Jazz fan?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
David, walk us through a little bit how this relationship will work with David Fizdale now as an associate GM. You've got Justin Zanuck as the GM. You've got CEO Danny Ainge. Like, what's the hierarchy? How many voices can you really have? And how do you work, you know, in an office with so many big minds and so many big opinions?
So, honestly, I don't know. I think it's always collaborative, and they have different jobs. And you have different points of view, and you bant the ideas about, and then the buck's got to stop somewhere. I frankly think, I've never been in an NBA front office, so to be perfectly clear, maybe I'm wrong on this. But as someone who runs a company, I'm totally lost on how NBA front offices are structured. Like, I have a vision in my mind what I think they should be, and they should be structured like a company, and you have different departments, and they all report. You know, but I don't know. NBA front offices are just so strange to me, and everyone's got their motives, and they almost feels like the general structure of an NBA front office is dysfunctional by definition. They haven't worked together, but you're always better off having more bright minds in the building than less. And adding David Fizdale is a really, you know, longtime good NBA mind.
So, a couple thoughts. Number one, and kind of circling back to the assistant coaches, Jazz cast a wide net. Was a lot of that too to maybe see potential, you know, guys like, you know, Jason Terry, Sam Cassell's already been an assistant, but some guys that maybe looking to take that next step, not necessarily as a head coach, but on a bench. Was that also perhaps some of the process of that large net? And then Alex Jensen, I mean, the guy knows the culture, knows the team. Is that a guy that you could see being still a member of this staff?
So, you know, I think you are trying to talk to as many people, learn as much as you can. You know, it's an opportunity to talk to people. I think if you don't use your head coaching search as that opportunity, that's a really big mistake. And obviously the Jazz took advantage of that. Specifically to Alex, you know, he's under contract. All the Jazz coaches are still under contract. Quinn left with years on, and usually assistant coaches' contracts match the head coach. And I think most of our coaches have a year or two left on their deal. So in that sense, Alex could be around. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Steve Clifford doesn't go grab Alex. I would have thought Alex would have gone to Golden State before Kenny Atkinson. left. He's, you know, he's one of the most highly thought of assistant coaches in the NBA, with his knowledge and his demeanor. Is it, I don't know if you interview for a job in this nature, someone with a similar resume to you gets the job that you stay around. I don't know. I'm trying to think around the league. I can't figure out if there's a track record for that. It feels unlikely. But you know, maybe again, you know, Alex is really great at his job. So maybe you get over that, the fact that it seems unlikely.
So, David, I was hunkering down. I'd heard that they were going to run a second interview with all 15, and I was kind of hunkering down and getting ready for a long wait going into middle July, into July. And we get the announcement here on June 28th. Is there much to read into this? Like, okay, he knocked an interview out of the park, or he did something that triggered this with the front office to say, let's get this hire done, because this feels pretty quick in terms of how much time they had to when it was now announced.
So when was it that I sat down with Danny? Because in that interview, he said like 6 weeks, right? So, you know, maybe you do want to get it done. You know, if you don't get it done today, are you suddenly not getting it done for a week because of free agency? And so maybe you do, you are trying to do that. You know, there was the report from Andy Larson earlier in the week that Will Hardy had emerged as the leading candidate. And so the way I understand that the interview process worked is like the first 20 or whatever it was had kind of just an opening hour Zoom. Then there was a second interview that took place that was more of a strategy. That was kind of a get to know. And then there was a third in which you're with Ryan. I read, and I'm making this up, I'm just assuming, but I read Andy's report to mean that, like, Will Hardy left the second stage as a lead candidate. Now, a lot can happen in that third stage, but maybe evidently nothing did happen in that third stage. But this kid just came prepared and remarkable, and you know, and you know, his background is pretty outstanding. So maybe it became abundantly clear at that point. I know that some of the other candidates had their conversations with Ryan recently.
Again, people ask David, system, beliefs, what can you expect from this team? And my thought on that, and I'll answer your question for you, and then you can jump in and tell me how wrong I am. But you look at Quinn Snyder, and Quinn was pretty upfront saying, look, when we got here, we realized this team was trying to run, and we're not good enough to run, so let's slow things down and let's play defense and let's be the best defensive team. And as the team evolved and they became the three-point shooting team, I can't imagine that there's like a preset, pre-cut, this is who I am, this is what I want to do right out of the gate. It's going to depend on what that roster looks like coming up later on in the fall.
No, the thing I do think is interesting is the Jazz are really similar to where the Celtics were a year ago. Celtics were 500. Everyone's going to break up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They didn't move the ball. They didn't share it at all. They just didn't pass. I remember talking to Brian Scalabrine, Celtics announcer, and generally funny dude. And he's just like, we don't pass. We have no passers. The team by a year of M.A. Udoka passed the basketball. And so you come from the San Antonio Spurs where Pop, you know, wants nobody to be too full of themselves and nobody, you know, and the ball's got to move and the ball's got to pop. And then you go to the Celtics where they got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to move the ball. And so I'm going to assume that we're going to hear a lot about ball movement and player movement, because those are signatures of both Pop and the way the Celtics played last year. So that would be my guess. Now, I also think Will Hardy, you know, let's not sell him short. I'm sure he's capable of his own ideas and his own thoughts. But just coming from the Celtics, where a team that didn't move it a year ago and moved it this year all the way to the NBA Finals, I would suspect that we'll see. Well, that'll be a lot of what's talked about here if in fact he's the head coach and that's the press conference.
Well, David, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us on short notice, and quite a day for the Utah Jazz, no doubt about it. This is going to be a fun new era for sure.
Did you think that I would ever take you into a small gym in Williamstown, Massachusetts, and the story of Will Hardy?
No.
Sitting down with an old athletic director and like that would be useful? How about that, huh?
Very cool.
I got to sneak
in. By the way, I will be kissing. I just want to let everyone know, I'll be kissing butt and wearing a Williams sweatshirt to the press conference.
As you should. Well, here's the thing. I got a sneaking suspicion there were probably somewhere between, because realistically, there were probably, you know, 6 to 7 guys that you thought could get this job. You probably have little stories about that, about six or seven of these guys, just in case.
Yeah, maybe. But just in case, yes, that is probably true. Yeah. I will be wearing my purple hat with a purple cow on it when we have to practice, and only Will Hardy will know what the heck it means.
Kiss up. Smart man, though, but well done.
I'm kissing up. Hey, if I write that check, I'm allowed to wear whatever the I want.
Hey, but David, just first, your first impression, though, you like this hire?
I think he's one of the rising, you know, he's well-recognized as the rising star assistant coach in the league. He and Charles Lee were the two that everyone's talked about. Will's been with Pop. He's been with USA Basketball. He's been with the Celtics. He was going to be a head coach somewhere in the NBA, and so hopefully it's in Utah for a long time.
Yeah. Thanks, David.
See ya.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.